Thank you, Rebecca. You sang that just right. People do need the Lord, and we people need the Lord. That's why we're here today, because we always need Him. Nothing new today, but the song says, tell me the old, old story. We're going to hear it and new. As we need so often to be minded and reminded and re-reminded of the wonderful, glorious hope that we have in the Lord. They say that confession is good for the soul. Well, I'm going to do my soul some good this morning. I have a confession. It's hard to admit, but I have a weakness. If I see a sign that says auction sale or garage sale or thrift store, you know, there's just something that just sort of draws me right in. Have you ever felt that? Yes. Maybe there's someone here who has. Well, recently I felt that drawing, and I walked into the thrift store there with an open mind. I always go in with an open mind. I'm not looking for anything. I'm, you know, just, well, what might be here today that catches my eye? So that's the way it was on that day. And here is a shelf full of tchotchkes and doojiggers and trinkets, and I'm not interested in that kind of stuff. You know, you have to dust it, but right there with all the trinkets was something that caught my eye. It was a little glass cross. Well, now I thought that's a nice thought. We see the cross. You know, it's here, and we've got it up here behind the pulpit, and it's a wonderful reminder of the glorious gospel of Jesus. And so whenever I see the cross, it just brings warm thoughts to my mind, and I saw this little glass cross there, and everything on the shelf was a dollar or two or three, but this was $7.50. Thought, well, you know, that's quite a bit to pay here among the trinkets, but well, it's a cross, and it's I like the thought that it brings to me, and so I got the little glass cross, and we put it there in the kitchen window, and the sun kind of sparkles on it, and it gives me a pleasant thought every time I see it. And so I brought it along here this morning. I'm going to set it right there so you can enjoy it with me. And maybe you'll be glad that I went to the thrift store that day. It's wonderful when we have our minds on the cross. I told you nothing new this morning, but anew. The Bible tells the story of old Israel as they were out there wandering in the wilderness, and you know, the days were long and some of them were hot, and some of the people got weary and they began to complain, and some of them got downright rebellious, and they were griping to Moses, and things got pretty unpleasant there. And sometimes the Lord allows things to come along to remind us who's who And somebody was busy griping one day, and he felt something sharp on his leg, and he looked down, and there was a snake. And then somebody over here felt something, and he got bit. And then they began looking, and my, there were snakes crawling all around. You remember the story. And the Israelites began to fall. They were bitten by these snakes that just came crawling in, wiggling and writhing and attacking the camp. And they were venomous snakes, and people were keeling over due to the poison. And suddenly there was a revival among them. They said, "Oh, Moses, we've been so unfaithful, and we're sorry. Would you please call upon the Lord?" You don't have to turn there. You know the story. It's in Numbers 21. And they said, "Please call upon the Lord and get rid of these snakes." And the snakes kept on biting, and the people kept falling. And so the Lord told Moses, "Go out there in the middle of the camp and form a snake and put it up on a pole. And tell the people, tell all these stricken people who've been bitten by these venomous vipers, that if they'll look up there at that snake, they'll be healed." Come on now, of all the unreasonable medical advice that was ever given, that's got to be pretty close to the top. You're dying of snake venom, and over there is a pole with a snake on it, and somebody says, "If you just look over there, you'll be okay." Well, somebody decided to try it, and he looked, and there was a surge of energy that went through him, and the swelling disappeared out of his leg, and he felt good, and he stood up, and somebody saw him, and so they looked too, and suddenly they felt better. And the news spread around the camp, "All you got to do is look. Look at that snake over there." And they did. And those who looked lived, because God says, "Believe and be live." That is the key of the whole Bible right there. Believe and be like. Yes, it's strange, it's mysterious, it doesn't add up, it doesn't make sense to the scientific mind, but there's something higher than reason, and that is faith. Faith is a higher faculty than reason when it comes to believing what God has said. If you believe what he said, you don't need to let reason, nor science, nor human wisdom, nor critical thinking cloud your decision, because faith is higher than all of them. And those people who were crazy enough to just turn over and look up there at that snake, that's all it took, because it was an act of trust and belief in God. And why did he choose a snake? Well, what was it that first tempted Eve? It was the serpent in the garden. And the snake was the symbol of evil. Well, why does looking at a symbol of evil bring healing? And why is that faith? Because the Bible says that God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And when we look at the cross and the one hanging upon it, we are looking at evil, at sin. We're looking at every sin that has ever been committed by every person who has ever lived on this planet. God laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. And so, though Jesus was the Holy Son of God, and though he is our Master and our King, at the time that he was hanging upon the cross, he was burying the epitome of evil, our evil. And in John, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That's just before John 3:16. We quote John 3:16 all the time, for God so loved the world, but just the two verses before that, Jesus is talking about that old snake back there in the wilderness, and he says, that's me. That's me. Look to me and be ye saved, all the nations of the earth. Believe and be live. Back there in Israel, they had just two choices. They could believe and be live, or they could doubt and be dead. That's putting it plainly. That's summing up the Bible in just two lines. They had the message there, and Paul says, looking back at the Old Testament and those many events that are recorded back there, many of them have truths that we can see as we look back. He said, these things happened to them for examples, for us, upon whom the ends of the world are come. As we look back, we can see God's hand in many events that the people, the current people of that time, did not fully understand. John 5:24 is a precious verse. There are numerous precious salvation and assurance verses in John, but I particularly like 5:24. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, you know what the next word is? Has. Not will have, not may get, may possibly obtain someday. No, it's just three little words. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. You have it. You didn't know that? If you're looking to the cross, if you're looking in faith, if you're saying, Jesus, those are my sins that you're carrying. Jesus, that's my life that you lived so perfectly. Jesus, that's my death that you died on the cross. And Jesus, that's my resurrection to new life that you had there on the third day. All those are mine, and that perfect record of yours, Jesus, that's mine. If you believe, it says, you have eternal life. That's the good news of the gospel. Do you ever have piles of paper at home? I was going through piles of paper the other day, and you know, with all good motives, and I had the shredder right there. These days you have to do that. And I was shredding away happily, getting rid of things, and something kind of peeked and poked out of the pile of paper there. And I don't know if you can see what it is or not. This one has a 1 on it, and this one has a 1 on it, but it's got 2 zeros after it. A $1 bill and a $100 bill, and they're both just crisp and new and uncirculated. And I have thought and meditated and remembered and tried, and I have no idea where that came from. I don't. It must have been with some good reason that I got that one day. But I have no idea where that $101 came from. But I'm a happy man. And that's the way it is when you hear about eternal life. It was there all along. And when you hear about it, no wonder they call it good news. It's good news. It's yours, even though, and it's been there all along. It was there before you were born. It had your name on it, and it was all yours. And Jesus had a place reserved. And up there in the heavenly cloakroom, old Gabriel had a beautiful white shimmering robe all hanging there with your name on it. And the wonderful thing is when you find out about it. You see, that's the gospel. It's when you find out what you have in Jesus. It's that $101 just kind of popping out there. I don't have no idea what I'm going to do with that, but maybe LaVon will have some ideas. But that's the joy of the gospel. In John 1:10, it says, if you believe, to all those who believe, to them gave he the right to become children of God. And, you know, in the old language, you know, it's translation is kind of hard sometimes. And you see the word believe all the way through the Bible and all the way through Christian literature, but in most cases there is a better translation, because the Greek word for believe also means trust. Yeah, it means trust. As many as trusted him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God. And that's all it takes. You trust, you place your future in his hands. He doesn't say anywhere that you have to measure up and be perfect. Now, that's our goal. We want to serve him. We want to live lives victorious over the shortcomings and the sins that beset us. But that's not the peg that our salvation hangs on. The peg that our salvation hangs on is that peg that stood on Calvary so long ago. It's the old rugged cross. There's where our salvation hangs. Somebody wrote a beautiful song, and you've heard it often, but it lays out the vast sweep of salvation. The song tells the story of a dream that a person had. He dreamed that he saw Jerusalem and the children singing and waving palm branches to the victorious Jesus. And then he dreamed that he saw the cross on Calvary, and then he dreamed far off into the future that he saw the heavenly reward of the saints. And so it tells the whole story, and I like the way it's put as he tells the story of his dream last night. As I lay sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Hosanna in the highest, they sang. Hosanna to your king. And then methought my dream was changed. The streets no longer rang, and hushed with the glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery. The morn was cold and still as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. And once again, the scene was changed. New earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets, and its gates were open wide. Now listen. And all who would might enter, and no one was denied. And all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night or sun to light the day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. But the two lines that were the reason for looking at that whole song, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. If you get to the gates of that city, you don't have to worry about St. Peter saying no. Jesus invites us there, and when we look in faith and place ourselves in his hands, when we entrust ourselves to him, he wants us there. He calls after our hearts daily. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. My 16-year-old grandson, Daniel, a week ago today, he's got a brand new driver's license, and I remember how that feels. He was driving the family home from somewhere. He was at the wheel, and they were all sitting there letting him do it. And in a busy intersection down there by their place in Simi Valley, he turned the corner and he saw something out there on the pavement, and he went on toward home, but he thought, why, that looked like an iPhone. And so he dropped the family off at home, and he turned around and he drove back down a few blocks to that busy intersection, and the light was changing, you know, and the cars were lining up, and he pulled over and he got out and he watched his chance, and he ran out there, and right out in the middle, sure enough, there lay a beautiful iPhone, and no car had yet run over it. It was perfect. Well, he went on back home, and Dan's a very techie boy. And so he took that iPhone and I got to find out who owns this. Somebody's really, they're really going to be in bad shape. But you know, you got to have your thumbprint. Or you got to know the passcode. And so he couldn't get in. But as I said, he's a techie boy. So he fired up Siri. You know, Siri is that talking assistant that comes out of the iPhone, and she'll answer even though the phone is locked. And so he fired up Siri and he says, call John. Call George, and call Peter. And pretty soon she says, I have three Johns. Do you want John Smith, John Jones, or John Bailey? Well, he says, call John Smith. So Siri called John Smith. Well, he was trying all this, which is, I think, pretty smart. But right in the middle of that, a car pulled into the driveway out front. And a gentleman got out of the car and came to the door, and Dan went to the door, opened the door. The man said, hello, I've come to get my phone. And Dan says, you mean this one? Yeah, that's mine right there. Because you see, there was something unseen going on. There were signals going up high out of the atmosphere and then coming down from a satellite saying, little iPhone, where are you? And there was an answer coming right out of Dan's hand saying, here I am, here I am, here I am. And then the message went back over here to the poor guy who lost his phone, and he borrowed his wife's phone, and the map popped up, and he went right, drove and followed the map, and came into the driveway and said, I've come after my phone. And you know, there are calls coming from on high to every heart. Where are you? I see you. Come home. He wants you there. He said, Father, I will that thou hast given me be with me where I am. He wants us there. Jesus is tenderly calling today, calling thee home, calling thee home. Yesterday, Dan went to the mailbox, and here was an envelope addressed to him, and he opened it up, and there's a beautiful thank you note and $60 in it, saying, I just want to thank you for rescuing my phone out of the intersection. I left it on top of my car and drove away. So Dan was very happy with his $60, and we'll be very happy when we answer the call that comes from on high that says, come home. And I stood there in the thrift store, and it said $7.50, and I thought, well, that's a lot to pay, you know, for a doodad to set on the shelf. And I was considering it, and I looked at it, and it's real pretty, this little glass cross. And I looked at the light sparkling through it, and then I noticed at the foot, you got to look real close, but there's something there. And it looked like a letter. It was a W there, the foot of the cross. And then I looked, and there's another letter, an A, A-T, E-R, water, water. And then F, O, R, D, water, Ford, water, Ford, Waterford. And I whipped out my iPhone, and I fired up Google, and I punched in Waterford Crystal Cross, and there in my left hand was a picture. It said Waterford 8-inch Standing Crystal Cross, and there in my right hand was Waterford 8-inch Standing Crystal Cross. And then there was a whole list of retailers, Waterford of Ireland and Neiman Marcus and Bloomingdale's and Harrods, and all these places had it for sale with all their prices. No, not prices. Price. Just one price. No discounts. No variations, just one price. Everybody said $160. As I gave my $7.50 to the lady at the cash register, she wrapped newspaper around it, and she said, oh, that's pretty, isn't it? And I said quietly, yes, it's awesome. His cross is awesome. Waterford Crystal, of course, is some of the most beautiful and expensive in the world. Their drinking glasses are like $100 a piece, and they make all kinds of beautiful art stuff. And how could I have ever dreamed that I would own an 8-inch standing Waterford Crystal Cross? But I have pleasant thoughts every time I see it there glittering in our kitchen window. But you know what made all the difference? It was the name at the foot of the cross. And you know what? At the name of at the foot of Jesus' cross is a nameplate, and when you look at it, the nameplate is blank, and it says right here. And you can reach up and you can put your name there, and suddenly a trinket becomes a treasure, because the cross is your treasure. It has your name on it, and the one who hung there is bearing all responsibility for everything that you're liable for, and that's Jesus, your Savior. And when you look there and you believe, you're alive. Believe and be live, he says. There's life in a look at him. Oh, but I'm not worthy. I feel so unqualified. I couldn't measure up. You know what? Heaven is the greatest come as you are party that could ever be. Come as you are and arrive as he is. You ever thought of it that way? Come as you are, he says. The song says, just as I am. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And as thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Don't wait to clean yourself up before coming to Jesus. Come as you are. You'll arrive as he is. That's the great change that comes when we believe in him. When we look and live, when we believe and be live. Come as you are, you'll arrive as he is if you believe, if you trust. I can't explain it. No, they couldn't explain the healing from those snake bites, and we can't explain the way God makes that great, grand, glorious, life-saving transaction. But he covers us with the perfection of his Son. Come as you are, arrive as he is. And we do that every day. We renew and we re-renew our trust, our agreement every day. You got to reach up and put your name at the foot of the cross every day and say, Lord, I'm still here. That cross is still mine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. One of the most beautiful, assuring verses in the whole Bible, I think, is Colossians 1, verses 12 to 14. That is one that ought to be underlined. If you don't have your Bible to underline it, jot it down or remember it, or go online and listen and get this really marked in the Bible. Colossians 1, 12 to 14. Giving thanks to the Father, who, now you know a little bit about grammar, present perfect is something that has been done in the past and stands complete today. Is that right, Janelle, Mary Jo? Present perfect? All right. Giving thanks to the Father who, present perfect, has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The two words that I like best there are has qualified. He has qualified us already. It's like finding that $100 bill you didn't know you had. You're qualified if you believe, if you look, if you live, if you trust, if you put your name at the foot of the cross and make that cross yours. You're qualified. You're in. You believe, and you can be live. That's the good news all over again. Nothing new but news and new. Blessed assurance. Jesus is ours. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your wonderful invitation. Thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you for qualifying us to stand among the saints in light. Thank you for giving us eternal life. Thank you for accepting us in the Beloved. Help us to remember that and believe it and renew our trust every day. In Jesus' name, amen.